Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A strange story indeed. Today we see a mysterious exchange, reminding us of the elusive nature of God, and yet, even wrapped in that mystery, God makes himself known to us. In our Old Testament, we are given a detail from the life of Jacob. It's one small detail, but that detail enlivens the greater story of faith, not only in the history of Jacob's life, but in the history of all humanity. For the moment of his birth, Jacob was a schemer. He was given his name, which means one who supplants, because from the beginning, he was grasping his twin brother's heel as they came out of the womb. When they were older, Jacob grasped his brother's birthright by tricking him into selling it. And if that wasn't bad enough, Jacob even later grasped his brother's blessing by deceiving his father. After that, Jacob had to flee, for Esau's wrath burned against him, and Esau had plotted to kill him. Jacob didn't understand. All of the scheming was unnecessary, because in truth, God had already chosen Jacob from the beginning to bear the Lord's promise. And so God came to Jacob in visions and dreams as he fled and promised to be with him and to protect him. He prospered Jacob in a foreign land and grew Jacob's faith until it was time for Jacob to learn finally to trust in God alone. He called Jacob to return to the land of his fathers. Yet as Jacob approached, he feared Esau. And so he began scheming yet again and sent messengers ahead of him in hopes to find favor with his brother. Jacob's messengers returned, saying that Esau was coming out to greet Jacob with a group of 400 men. Jacob grew even more distressed. And then he recalled God's promise of protection and care. And he prayed to God that God would protect Jacob and all his house from Esau's fury. But then Jacob schemed yet again to grasp his brother's favor by sending waves after waves of gift before him. That night, Jacob found himself alone, when all of a sudden, without explanation, a mysterious man appears and begins wrestling with Jacob. Yet as the story unfolds, this is clearly no mere man. For when he saw that Jacob had prevailed against him, he reached out and touched Jacob's hip, and his hip was put out of joint. That's the oddity of this story, the mystery of it all. Who is this man? And only one being could have such power like that. It became apparent that on account of his suffering, Jacob too came to realize who this supposed assailant was. And in that moment, Jacob grasped him, refusing to let him go until he was blessed. Jacob had finally come to the point where God had intended to bring him all along, the point where Jacob's trust in God is sufficient. And he knows that it is God alone who is the source of his strength, the only one who can bless and protect him. And so Jacob asks God to do what God has long promised to do. But if this man was God, then how could he have not prevailed against Jacob the entire night? The man reveals himself who he is when he gives Jacob the new name, a new identity, Israel, one who struggles with God. For he had indeed striven with God and with men and had prevailed. Yet even though Jacob had overcome, he could still not quite pin the man down. When Jacob asked his name, he received no response in return. Though Jacob had prevailed against God and received the blessing, Jacob was not the one in control. The significance of this entire event was not lost on Jacob. He named the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life was delivered." He knew that no man could be in the presence of the holy and almighty God and live. And yet there in that place, God had drawn close to Jacob, not to overpower him, but to graciously invite him, to draw out Jacob's faith, to cling to God until God had given him that promised blessing. Though God did not reveal his name to Jacob, he showed Jacob who he was and is and will forevermore be. He showed Jacob his very nature as a merciful and loving God. He is a God, in fact, who allows his creation to prevail against him that they might be blessed through him. That, after all, is the point of Christ's parable. Yes, the widow's persistence in her suffering provides for us an example, just as Jacob's own wrestling does. Yet the main teaching of the parable is not about persistence, but rather why we can persist. It's about the eager willingness of God to show mercy and give justice to those who cry out to him. He will not delay, but he will give them what they ask as soon as the words leave their minds and hearts. For he has already blessed us through his Son, whom he has given for us to grasp and to prevail against. When our hands had bound and beat and hung him to the cross, God satisfied justice by pouring out his wrath upon Jesus for our sins. On the cross, we saw God face to face, and yet our lives were delivered. God allowed us to prevail against him, that we might be blessed through him. That is the kind of God that we have. Yet we who live nearly 2,000 years after our Lord's ascension, how are we to grasp him for our blessing? Are we to plot and scheme as Jacob had done before? Or are we to turn to God's own promise and wrestle with him there, as Jacob did the night of his encounter? Paul answers this question for us. He says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." The word of Scripture is always reliable. Whatever God says to us in his word, we can count on. We can call upon God to remember what he has said to us, what he has promised us. You have said that we have been made to be your people through your Son, and we are going to take you at your word. And we will not let go of you until you bless us. We will strive with you. We will struggle with you. We will wrestle with you. We will hold on to your word tightly, that you have given to us until we receive that blessing. Yet clinging to God and his word does not come without a cost. Paul warns, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate and want for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Those who cling to God's word will suffer for it. The world and even those who have set themselves up as teachers in the church have sold themselves on the lies and myths of men in order to suit their sinful passions, and they will not tolerate those who speak the truth. We will be ridiculed. We will be mocked. We will even be opposed with violence for clinging to God's word. And so it is to his word that we must return and cling even tighter to. For it is there in his word that we encounter God himself, where God invites us to trust in him alone. It is there that we grasp him for our blessing. Each and every time we come to his word and ask for him to bless us, he graciously and instantly pours out faith and strength upon us that we may endure. It is through this blessing of his word that we are given new identities, a new name. For in that watery word, we received his very name as his children. And through that meaty word, we are nourished at his table. And it is through his word read over and over to us as his children that we are renewed and restored each and every day. And when Jesus asks at the end of his parable, "Will the Son of Man find faith on earth?" we should answer with a resounding yes, but not without care and concern for our own faith, for our own wrestling, because the very question implies that we shouldn't take it for granted. So, brothers and sisters in the faith, fellow children of God, I beg of you, go home today, tomorrow, and every day, and cling desperately to the word of God so that you may endure. Open up the word of God and go to him with desperation and persistence. And when you don't understand that word, wrestle with him. And when you don't like what he has to say in that word, wrestle with him. Wrestle with him, asking him for that blessing until you receive his mercy and faith. Wrestle with him and never let him go, that your faith may be strengthened and increased. Grasp his word tightly. Do not let go, that you may live in blessing and strength as Jacob did the rest of his life, trusting in the Lord alone to bless and to preserve and to care for and to protect. For you have a God who is eager to give, even from the moment you ask. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.